When we die. Death is not an easy subject. If I say that death is followed by suffering, you may grow to fear the pain of death. If you think this, you will not be able to comprehend the true nature of death. If I say that death is followed by peaceful serenity, you may interpret death as something laudable and liberating. It is best to say that life is not necessarily joyful, and death is not necessarily miserable. Once, there was a rich man who had a son in the later years of his life. When the boy was born, the house was filled with guests who came to congratulate the new father. Among the guests was a Chan master who was completely unmoved by the festivities around him. Before long, he started to cry. The rich man was puzzled and asked, "Master, what's wrong? Why are you so sad?" The Chan master replied despondently, "I cry because you have added another person to the ranks of the dead in your family." An awakened person sees birth as an extension of a previous life and death as the start of another life. Birth is not just about living, and death is not just about dying. When we see birth and death as one, what is there to rejoice about or grieve over? When Chinese people see someone who is 100 years old, they often congratulate him and say, "May you live to be 120. Let us think for a moment. Is reaching the age of 120 something worth celebrating? If a man were to live to be 120, his 100-year-old son might become sick one day and pass away. One after another, his 80-year-old grandchild and his 60-year-old great-grandchild might also pass away. This old man will no longer be able to enjoy the happiness of spending time with his descendants. He lives to see the deaths of his children and grandchildren until he is all alone. In a person's life, there is nothing harder to bear than the death of one's child. Longevity does not necessarily equal happiness. Often, with longevity comes loneliness, helplessness, and physical infirmity. Just as we should not be obsessed with longevity, we should also not fear death. The mere mention of death often provokes many frightful images in people's minds. In Chinese culture, many people worry that they will be punished after they die, that they will have to climb mountains of knives or drown in pots of boiling oil. If we really understood death, we would see that dying is not unlike receiving a passport that allows us to travel to another country. How liberating that would be! Death is a path that we all must travel. How can we face death in such a way that we feel prepared and not overwhelmed? To do this, we must understand death, the nature of which is discussed in the following four sections. First, the dying process. Though we all have lived and died over the course of countless rebirths, none of us can recall the exact experience of death. We do not know what death is really like. According to the Buddhist sutras, when we die, we are still fully cognizant of all that is going on around us. We may hear the calm voice of the doctor announcing our death, or the sound of family members grieving. We may still be able to see people gathering around our body, trying to move our body that is now bereft of the signs of life. We may still worry about the many things left incomplete. We may feel ourselves moving among our family and friends, wanting to tell them what they should do. However, everybody is overcome with grief and no one can see or hear us. In the Reader's Digest, there was once an article about one man's near-death experience. One day, while he was driving, he had a severe accident. The car was totally demolished, and he was on the brink of death. When the ambulance, paramedics, police, and his family arrived on the scene, his consciousness had already left his body, and he felt himself floating in the air. He could hear, over the din, a group of people arguing about how the accident happened. So he went over to the police officer and tried to tell him what really happened. But the officer could neither see nor hear him. None of the others took notice of his presence, nor could they see him. At that moment, he had only his consciousness and was no longer in possession of his body. He finally became aware that he was floating outside of his body, looking at it from the viewpoint of an onlooker. He then found himself passing at incredible speed through a long, dark, and narrow tunnel. In another case, a person spoke of his own near-death experience when he suffered a severe head injury and was later brought back from the brink of death. He said, "I remember the impact and then losing consciousness. Afterward, I just felt warm, comfortable, and at peace." Once one's consciousness leaves the body, it is no longer constrained and can therefore feel a level of comfort and serenity never before experienced. Such cases are plentiful. Another person recalled their near-death experience by saying, "When I was dying, I felt comfortable, wonderful, and at peace." Another man described his experience this way: "I felt light as a feather. I was flying freely toward a world of brightness." As we can see, death is not as chilling and ghastly as we might have imagined. The Buddhist sutras describe life in this world as cumbersome, not unlike a tortoise that is weighed down by its heavy shell. Death allows us to remove this burden and to transcend the limits set by our physical bodies. However, when we are faced with death, most of us still try to hold on to our worldly emotions and sensual desires. We are also unable to let go of our sons, daughters, grandchildren, or our wealth. We do not want to die and cannot accept death gracefully. We think of dying as a painful experience, like tearing the shell off of a living tortoise. But this is not the Buddhist view of death. The Buddha taught that when we die, we are liberated from this body, and we can be carefree and at ease. It is like the relief of putting down a heavy piece of luggage. How light and carefree it is. Whether we are smart or slow, good or bad, we all have to face death. Death is not a question of if, but a question of how and when. Even the first emperor of the Qin dynasty, who dedicated all his resources to uncovering the elixir of immortality, could find no means of extending his life. Everything that lives must inevitably die. It is merely the circumstances of death that vary. The Buddhist sutras mention four broad reasons for death. 1. Death at the end of one's lifespan. Death at the end of one's lifespan is also called dying of old age. Our lives are like a lamp. When the fuel is exhausted, the light will naturally be extinguished. We would all like to live a nice, long life, but a human lifespan has its limits. Life continues only with each breath we take, but as soon as we stop breathing, we die and return to the soil. There is an old Chinese saying which goes like this: "Some only live from dawn till dusk. Others are born in spring or summer and die in autumn or winter. Some live for 10, 100, or even 1,000 years. Whether we live for a short time or a long time, is there really that much of a difference? What this says is that our lifespan is limited, and no one can escape this reality. 2. Death at the end of wholesome karma. It is said in the sutras that worldly people do not understand life and death. Human eyes do not see wholesome and unwholesome karma. Our lives are like a foam bubble on the surface of water. When the air inside the bubble dissipates, the bubble no longer exists. We all exist because of certain karmic causes. When they expire, life comes to an end. One example is a rich man who squanders his money and becomes destitute. Without the cause of his wealth, he then dies from exposure to the elements. 3. Abrupt death. Abrupt death is also called premature death and describes deaths which are unexpected, like being killed in a car accident, ambushed in a war, murdered by an enemy, or attacked by a wild beast. These kinds of death are unpredictable. There is a Chinese proverb that fittingly describes this kind of sudden death. It states, "As long as one continues to breathe, possibilities are aplenty. When death comes around, all comes to a standstill." 4. Death at will. The three circumstances of death described above are unpredictable and uncontrollable. In contrast, death at will is more predictable and can be planned. In Buddhism, this is often referred to as living and dying at will, and there are many great Buddhist masters and sages who have had this ability. They are not controlled by the cycle of birth and death, for they are completely in tune with causes and conditions. Venerable Master Daoan of the East Jin Dynasty is a perfect example of such a master. He was in full control of his own passing. On February the 8th, 385 CE, he assembled his disciples in the Great Hall of Wuzong Temple in Chang'an. After praying and paying homage to the Buddha, he calmly told his disciples, "I'm going to leave now. All of you should continue to spread the Dharma and awaken the ignorant from their delusions." The disciples were shocked. One pleaded with the master, "Teacher, you're in such good health. You should stay and continue the work of the Buddha. How can you stop here and leave us now? It's time for lunch. Please have lunch first." Master Daoan answered, "Good, I'll have some lunch." He then went and ate his meal as usual. After lunch, he retired to his room to rest and passed away while resting. Venerable Master Daoan died at will, completely free of pain and suffering. If we practice the Dharma diligently and become liberated from the cycle of birth and death, we, too, can attain awakening and enter Nirvana. Now that we have discussed the circumstances of death, let us turn our focus to another aspect of death. What does death feel like? The sutras describe some of the sensations that arise when dying. 1. Imbalance of the earth element. When a person dies of an illness of the body or bones, at the very moment of death, the whole body may feel like a massive piece of land sinking into the ocean. As it gradually sinks and is submerged, the person feels suffocating pressure. The sutras call this sensation the earth element being submerged by the water element. 2. Imbalance of the water element. When a person dies of circulatory disease, he or she initially has a sensation of being submerged in water and feels both wet and cold. This later gives way to a burning sensation, and the person will feel extremely hot. The sutras call this sensation the water element being engulfed by the fire element. 3. Imbalance of the fire element. When one dies of a pulmonary disease, he or she feels a burning sensation, like a wildfire blazing at dusk. The body then feels a searing pain, as if being blown to pieces by strong gusts and scattered about like ashes. The sutras call this sensation the fire element being overwhelmed by the wind element. What happens next? What is it like immediately after death and before our next rebirth? The sutras tell us that because our bodies are transformed from a finite and bounded form to a limitless and formless state when we die, the way we feel immediately following death is not completely negative. This may seem somewhat surprising, but there are three good reasons to explain this. 1. The limits of time and space. When we are alive, we are limited by time and space. We cannot travel wherever we want, and we cannot choose not to grow older. Upon death, and before our next rebirth, we are liberated from the constraints of the body, and our true nature can move freely. 2. The burden of the body. It is said in the Dharmapada, the physical body is the cause of all suffering on earth. The sufferings of thirst and hunger, hot and cold, anger and fear, lusts, desires, hatred, and tragedy, all of these stem from the existence of the body. While we are alive, we spend a lot of time taking care of our physical body. When hungry, we have to eat. When cold, we have to put on more clothing. And when ill, we have to endure pain. This body of ours brings us far more affliction than happiness. If we pause for a moment and take stock, we will notice that a lot of our concerns pertain to our body. However, after we die, our consciousness is no longer subjected to the confines of the body. All problems associated with the physical body vanish with it. With no more hunger or sickness, a huge burden is lifted from our shoulders. 3. The supernatural element. While we are alive, our faculties are restricted by the limitations of our body. After death, we are no longer bound by the laws of physics. We are able to see things that are undetectable to the human eye and hear sounds that cannot be heard by the human ear. We are able to float freely in the air since the force of gravity no longer applies to us. In this state, walls cannot stop us, and we can travel simply by willing it. Death is not an end. It is not the finale. On the contrary, it is the beginning of a new state of existence. When we die, the physical body ceases to function, but the consciousness lives on. In the time after one's death and before the next rebirth, the consciousness is in a state referred to in Buddhism as Zhongyo, intermediate state. Depending on the cumulative karma from one's previous lives, a being in the intermediate state of becoming will be reborn into one of the six realms of existence. Once reborn, we forget all our memories of previous lives. Because of this, we cannot recall any of the suffering from our previous lives in this present life. Similarly, when we are reborn in our next life, we will forget the worries of this present life. A poem written by Emperor Xunzi expresses this well. Before birth, who was I? After birth, who am I? In adulthood, I am myself. When I close my eyes, who will I be? In truth, it is not important for us to know our past or future lives. We learn from the Dharma that one never truly dies. What dies is the physical body, which is merely a combination of the four great elements. Though the physical body dies, consciousness continues on without interruption. Once we realize that the body is as impermanent as a water bubble and that this world is an illusion, then we can accept death without reservation.